Yud Zayin Shvat, 2nd of February, Rabbi Yaakov ben Zaken, Parashaitim.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here. I have to say, Judaism is very persuasive. It doesn't let you go. So, I want to start off with an interesting observation I noticed last week. I was learning through the Or HaChaim HaKadosh last week, and I came across the following statement. When in the Shira it says, Ashira la Hashem ki ga'oga'ah, Ashira loshon yochid. So the Rachaim HaKadosh says as follows. He says, Perush she'amru zeh lazeh leimor. They said to each other, leimor, saying, Perush she'yomru shira yachad belo bechinas ishtanus, they gathered, they spoke to each other, and so to speak, they encouraged each other to sing all in unison. To sing in unison and to be ke'ish echad, like one person. Even though there were many, and they combined together and they did it simultaneously. Kehilu heim ish echad, as if though they were one person. Shezulat ze hayu omrim nashira, because otherwise the pasuk should have said nashira la Hashem. It doesn't quite say keish echad belev echad, but it says keish echad. And we don't find that Chazal present or show such a tremendous accomplishment of this keish echad that we have in Shira, as we have in our week's parsha, Vayichad Sham Yisrael, keish echad belev echad, that's considered to be the greatest accomplishment of Klal Yisrael. And I wanted to dwell on this, to perhaps present why it is that we make so much more of a fuss about the keish echad belev echad that we have in our week's parsha and that of last week's in the Shira. And in order to explain this, I would like to suggest as follows. I had a question. Ra'ata shivcha al hayam, mashmo ra'a Yechezkel ben Buzi. The shivcha in the sea was able to see, the maidservant was able to see what the Navi Yechezkel wasn't able to see. Now, the Navi Yechezkel, as a Navi, means Niv Sfatayim, means he has the, he was a vehicle for a message of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the world. So what does it mean, Mashelo Ra'a, what he didn't see? What do you mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't show him? So we have here another aspect of Nevuah. Aside from the aspect of Nevuah, where the Navi has the responsibility to deliver a message and to be the mouthpiece, the spokesperson of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world, the Navi also has achieves an elevated state where he has a perception of reality, where he has an understanding of the world, which is a perception of Nevuah. That perception, that understanding of the glory of Hashem in this world that a Navi has, people who don't have Nevuah cannot achieve it. Ra'ata shivcha layam ashelo ra'a Yechezkel ben Buzi says that the clarity of understanding of the world and of reality that a Shivcha had when she crossed the sea was a higher clarity, was a greater clarity than the clarity that Yechezkel ben Buzi realized, was able to see. But, I want to say, when you have that perception of reality, and it's so clear, then you can sing the praises of Hashem. Why are we in this world? We're in this world to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be Megale HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Bria, to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Bria. The Shivcha al Hayam had one of the greatest testimonies and perceptions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. And the natural reaction to that is Ashira Lashem, to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because you see so clearly that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere and in everything. So when Am Yisrael were able to sing the Shira, and they were singing at unison, was because they all were able to perceive the same reality. Even the Shivcha had an unbelievable understanding and reality and perception of that reality. So therefore, that Gilui was a Gilui that they got not because they deserved it, not because they worked at it, but it was granted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it was granted to all of Klal Yisrael, even to the Shivcha that was with them. And therefore, the singing that came about, which was in unison, was a singing that came about because of the unity that was achieved, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted us all that same perception. So Klal Yisrael didn't work to achieve this unity. This was not a Keish Echad, because they brought themselves together, because they made peace with each other, and they realized that our differences are not important, and what we need to work on is our similarities and our common purpose. It was granted, it was a matana min hashamayim. They were experienced a salvation together. They saw the Yad HaKadosh Baruch Hu together, and it was all granted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there's really no merit, so to speak, in them achieving this level. Masha'en came the Keish Echad Belev Echad at Har Sinai. That was something that they had to work on. That was the madriga that they had to reach as a prerequisite for Kabbalah Satoyer. And therefore, we make a big fuss about it. Therefore, we highlight it. The Rashi mentions it, and we all hear about the unity and the Keish Echad Belev Echad of Matan Torah. Because that's something we can feel proud of, because it's something we worked on and we deserve recognition. It's Yadua, I just want to mention it because it's a very, very powerful idea. Actually, I'll mention it as there's a pasuk in the Parsha that can be in a Rashi that we need to pay attention to because we might confuse it with a different Rashi. The Torah says, בחודש השלישי לצאת בני ישראל מארץ מצרים ביום הזה באו מדבר סיני. What is ביום הזה? So Rashi says, quote, one second. ביום הזה בראש חודש. לא היה צריך לכתוב אלא ביום ההוא. Could have said ביום ההוא. Why? Because we know when the Torah was written. When was the Torah actually written? This part of the Torah was written after the 40 days when Moshe Rabbeinu came down, HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked him to commit to writing the text of the Torah from Bereishis until Matan Torah. So we're talking about this was written post that day. So really you should refer to it as Bayom Hahu, on that day. So why does it say Bayom Hazeh? So says Rashi, Sheyiyu Divrei Torah Chadoshim Alecha Keilu Hayom Nitnu. The words of Torah should be chadashim alecha, should be new on you, as if though today they were given. As if though today they were given. This resonates with Kriya Shema. When we say in Kriya Shema, hayoyim al levavecha. Sorry, I didn't bring the chumash b'midvah. Can I have a chumash b'midvah, please? Hayoyim al levavecha. Rashi there also says, Hayoy, Sheyihu, Divrei Torah, thank you very much. Oh, this is Bamidvar. Sorry, Dvarim, I meant Dvarim. Sorry, Vais Hana. I'm sorry, I apologize. There's one here? Thank you. Hayom al levavecha, says Rashi, Sharochim esavecha hayom, lo yiyu be'enecha kedyut gama yeshana, she'ein adam sofena, ela kechadosh she'akol ratzim likrosa. It should be to you like something new, like news, like something that was given to you fresh, hot off the press. That hayom al levavecha, that is a way of us approaching the information of Torah. When you come to learn Torah, when you come to Shtayg, basically, You should think that the message of Torah is a message that is given hot off the press. You should have enthusiasm to learn it as if though it's something completely new. That's what Rashi is saying there. Here Rashi is saying something else. Rashi is highlighting not that in terms of the information, we should see the information as new. We should see the information as fresh. But rather, that she'iyu divrei Torah chadashim alecha keilu hayom nitnu. It's as if though they were given today. The focus here is on the Kabbalah satoyim. The Kabbalah should be as if though you're mekabel Torah today. So I heard this from Ramesh Shapira in a shiur that's on a Kol HaLashon. He points this difference and he says it's very, 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 it's two different things. Here we're talking about that the fact that every time we sit down and we learn Torah, we're not just learning Torah, we have to be mekabel Torah. Every time we sit down, the study of Torah has to be a Kabbalah Satorah as well. Not just a learning of Torah. Sheyu divrei Torah chadashim of Kriyat Shema Hayom, that's just a function of when you learn the information, make sure the information feels fresh. Make sure the information is something that you get excited about. Something that should be relevant to you. But it's not talking about the process of being mekabelit. And that's why there's actually a difference here. Based on this, then we have to be mekabel Torah every single day. Every time we sit down, we have to be mekabel the Torah. Therefore, the Arachayim HaKadosh has to be learned well, because the Arachayim HaKadosh is the one who tells us what the preparatory steps, three hachanot for Kabbalat HaTorah. Number one, as he says, they're all in this Pasuk, Vayisu Merefidim, Vayavohu Midbar Sinai, Vayachanu Bamidbar. It's very, very known, this Arachayim HaKadosh. We're just chazering it, because we have a responsibility every time we sit down and Mekabel Torah. So we have to have Vayisu Merefidim, number one, move away from Rifion Yadayim, move away from laziness, move away from being too relaxed. Vayavohu Midbar Sinai, we have to come to Midbar Sinai to recognize and put ourselves like a Midbar, referring to the anava that we have to have, to the humility. And then vayichan sham Yisrael neged har has to be keish echad belev echad, has to be with unity. How we achieve this unity? We have to be mevater on our way of looking at things, of our way, or our priorities and our comfort. So these are the three things that we have to integrate into ourselves in order to actually be able to be mekabel Torah. The Rachaim as well asks a different question, which is also a very powerful question, I believe. Rashi says, Ko tomar lebet Yaakov vetaged livnei Yisrael. Yeah? Rashi says famously, Bet Yaakov elu anashim, and it says tomar to the nashim, to the women, vetaged livnei Yisrael, dvarim kashim kedidim, things that are tough, like sinews, like tendons, and that's to the men. Where do you see in the Parsha that Moshe Rabbeinu delivers two messages, or two styles of message? One for men and one for women. Do you see anywhere in the Parsha that? Do you have any indication beyond this statement that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke differently to the men and to the women? We don't have any indication of this. So the Chaim HaKadosh says, where do you see that? He talked already to the Jewish people together. Says Rav Chaim HaKadosh that really these are allusions to teaching Klal Yisrael that Divrei Torah and Mitzvot have to build a dual relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A relationship of Ahava and a relationship of Yira. Bet Yaakov, Kotomar LeBet Yaakov is the Ahava, and Betaged Livnei Yisrael is Yira. And he points to the following, that to have a relationship of Yirah has a benefit and has an advantage over a relationship of Ahava, but Ahava also has an advantage over Yirah. What are the advantages and disadvantages? The Rachaim HaKadosh presents it as follows. When it comes to the performance of a mitzvah, when you do it me'ahava, when you do it from love, you do it with enthusiasm. You do it with simcha. And it cannot be compared, Chazal say, alluding to the schar notzer chesed la'alafim, that's for generations, for thousands of generations, and then when it comes to Yira, it's only 1,000 generations, so it's double. The schar of doing something b'simcha is double the schar of doing something miyira. So on the one hand, when you do it, it's much better if it's done b'simcha, so you have to appeal to the side of Ahava. On the other hand, what stops us from not doing? What stops us? Yira is a greater motivator for us to do something than Ahava. Because Ahava, we're not afraid if we don't do it. Because if somebody loves us, if we don't do them a favor, if we don't do something nice, so okay, the person who loves us will be mevater. If the relationship is only a relationship of Ahava, there's more an expectation of vitur, of forgiving, of not paying attention, not being so important if we don't comply. Masha'inken, if we recognize that there's an element of yira, yira is, we're afraid of not doing. And yira is a greater motivator for us not to be lazy and not to refrain from doing something than ahava is. And therefore says, Zirachayim HaKadosh, you need both. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying. Kotomar lebet Yaakov, when you speak, you appeal to the ahava, which is usually more present in the women. You should speak in that way to elicit in Am Yisrael that ahava, and also speak to them dvarim kashim, because you also have to develop that yira, because it's also necessary, and we need both of them. The truth is, if you think about this, I might have mentioned this before here, but it's good chazara. Every time we have mitzvahs that are associated with us developing a relationship with something or someone, we find that the Torah gives us mitzvahs which are positive and negative at the same time. Example, Shabbat, the Ramban quotes in this week's Parsha, Zachor v'Shamor, because Zachor is connected to mitzvot aseh, which is Ahava, and Shamor is Yira, and therefore we have to have a combination of two, of both of them. We need to connect to Shabbos in a way in which Shabbos is meaningful to us. We have to have, so to speak, a relationship with Shabbos. That relationship comes, a full relationship comes, if you have both Ahava and Yira. Our parents. We need to connect with our parents. The Rambam says, you cannot say the principle like by Chazir, you should say Efshi. I do want it. Yakash Baruch Hu told me not to. You can't say, you know what, I wish I could just curse my father and Malach Hasu Shalom. But what can I do? Yakash Baruch Hu told me not to. Absolutely not. Why? The mitzvahs are there to foster and develop the positive relationship that is expected between father and son. And therefore, to foster that relationship, I need both Ahava and Yira. And therefore, I have a mitzvah of Kibud Avayim, which fosters the Ahava. But at the same time, I need a mitzvah of a full relationship can only exist, a stable relationship can only exist if you have both Ahava and Yira. When we the Beit HaMikdash, we also have to connect and have a relationship, have an approach to the Beit HaMikdash. We're supposed to have Ahava, when you bring the Korbanos, etc. We also have Mor HaMikdash. We have to have both relationships when it comes to the Beit HaMikdash. With HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, so to speak, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we also have Ahava Hashem and also Yira Hashem. The Ahava and Yira have to be necessary aspects or components of our relationship with someone, and in order for it to be balanced, it has to have both. And that's what we find with all of these things, that we have a combination of the two. Okay. I'm moving on to something else that I noticed today, earlier on. There is an interesting exchange. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, hinei anochi ba elecha be'av he'anan. Hashem says to Moshe, behold, I'm coming to you in the thick of the cloud. Ba'avur yishma ha'am bedaberi imah. In order that the people should hear, as I speak to you. It's important. The people have to hear that I am speaking to you. Which means, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intention at Mount Har Sinai was not to speak to the Jewish people. It was not to speak to the Jewish people. It was to speak to Moshe. The only thing he needed was that the people should realize and be clear that Hashem was speaking to Moshe. But it was not the intention of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to speak to the people directly. And then they will also believe in you. Says Rashi, and the next continues the pasuk. Vayaged Moshe et divrei ha'am el Hashem. Moshe comes back and tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu a report from the people. Now, Vayaged Moshe et divrei ha'am. Vayaged Moshe is a very strong lashon. Kashim kegidim. Moshe Rabbeinu speaks back words to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which are kashim kegidim. He speaks strongly. What is this strong statement that Moshe Rabbeinu is saying on behalf of the people? Rashi fills the gaps. Vayaged Moshe b'yom ha'machorat she'u revi lechodesh et divrei ha'am. Also divrei. Tshuva al davar ze shamati mehem. Sherezonam lishmoa mimcha. Klal Yisrael do not want to just hear and realize that Hashem is speaking to Moshe. They want to hear the words of the Torah from Hashem directly. Ein odomea shomea mipi ha-shaliach le-shomea mipi ha-melech. They're not happy with just hearing through you, Moshe. They want to hear themselves. Retzoneinu lirot et malkeim. It is our wish and our desire to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Interesting. I thought we were talking about hearing. Retzoneinu lirot et malkeim. V'cholam roim et ha-kolot. Hear the whole... We know in Har Sinai, the senses were blurred. You heard what you didn't normally see, you see what normally heard. All the senses were blurred. But what you see here is a fascinating thing. The Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not consider it necessary to speak directly with all of Klal Yisrael. Mamad Har Sinai could have taken place in a way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu would speak to Moshe. Klal Yisrael would just know that that was the case and that was it. But no, Klal Yisrael demanded to Hashem, we want to hear you. And at the end of the day, what happens is that they start hearing, and then they realize, we can't bear it. We're not at a level that we can actually hear a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, they have to ask them, stop, daber ata imanu venishva, daber imanu elokim pen namut. They realize afterwards that as much as they want to hear a Kadosh Baruch Hu directly, a Kadosh Baruch Hu was right, that they weren't capable. We can't handle it. So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu given? Because they wanted to. They wanted to. The truth is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it's not necessary. But Klal Yisrael had a cheshek. They wanted to hear directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you see Rashi's praising them. It's a praise. Retzoneinu lirot et malkeinu. It wasn't that, oh no, we don't trust Moshe Rabbeinu. We want to hear it directly because we don't. No, it wasn't that we don't trust Moshe Rabbeinu. We trust Moshe Rabbeinu. But we want to see the king ourselves. It's a schus, it's an honor. It's an elevation to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we want to do it. And at the end of the day, they did the very beginning, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then they themselves said, sorry, okay, fine, I get it. I get why you didn't offer it to us in the first place, because it was too much for us. And that's why they had to push. They have to pull back. But it's fascinating to see that it wasn't in the plan that they should hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it was only because they asked to have that. It was a concession to the request of Klal Yisrael. I'll finish with one beautiful insight I heard many, many years ago from Rabbi David Orlovsky in the name of Rabbi Yitzhak Isaac Sher. He asks about the last three mitzvahs in the parsha. Look at the end of the parsha, there seems to be very, very strange set of three mitzvahs. After, the parsha has four sections, right? First section is Yitro and the judges and the whole legal system. Second is the Hachana for Kabbalah Satayra. Third is the actual Aseres Hadibros. And the last part is these three mitzvahs in the end. What are these three mitzvahs doing here? So after Aseres Hadibros, Hashem says, Lo ta'asu niti Elohe chesev ve'lohe zahav lo ta'asu lachem. Don't make for yourself gods and gods of gold and gods of silver. What does Rashi say this is referring to? It says, Rashi, you know those keruvim that I mentioned to you that you should put in the Mishkan, and I commanded you to make them of gold. Beware, chas v'sholom, beware, do not make them of silver. It's an isu d'oraisa to make those keruvim of silver. Okay, interesting. Mizbach adamata aseli vezavachta alav et rodecha ve et shelamecha et tzunecha ve et bekarecha lelach. Make a mizbach adama and vei mizbach avanim da aseli. And if you're going to make it of stones, lo tivne et hen gazit. Make sure not to make it with stones that have been cut with metal, hewn stone. They have to be pure stones that were not touched by metal. Why? Ki harbecha henafta aleha vatehaleleha. Because you've laid your sword on them and you've desecrated them. Third mitzvah, ולא תעלה במעלות על מזבחי אשר לא תגלה ערבתך עליו. Do not go up in steps onto the mizbeach, so you should not reveal your nudity. But let's understand, first of all, the last one. We're talking about the mizbeach. The mizbeach is inside the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan. There's no women around, there's only men. The men, the Kohanim, had the michnasayim, and they had the shirts on top, and they're going up. What are you seeing? What nudity are you talking about? What kind of nudity is happening here? Huh? The legs that you see, that they spread the legs as you go up in the steps. Is that a problem? What is that? It's a problem of erva? What kind of erva is this? It's a very, very small issue of tzniyas. Such a fine level of tzniyas. What is the first mitzvah? It's the kruvim. Just HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed us to do something that borders, would have chas v'sholom, if not for the fact that it's a mitzvah, would border an avodah zarah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded it. He says, but one deviation, small deviation, I told you gold, you made silver, that's already a dakus of avodah zarah. And what's the middle one? The mizbeach. To use a sword, you'll desecrate it because the sword is for killing. So this is a sensitivity for lo tirtzach, the sensitivity for murder, that the mizbeach should not be made with stones that were cut with metal. So we have what the Zar Gilor Ayas and Shfichus Damim in a very, very dakustic way. Rabbi Yitzchak Yagel says as follows. The Aseres Hadibros are not more important than the rest of the Torah. We know Rashi says they're just representing groups of mitzvot. They are what mathematicians would call in group theory class representatives. They represent a different class of mitzvot, and each one represents one of them. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu said or meant Lo Tirtzach at Har Sinai, what was meant was not, do not take a knife and slaughter someone, or pull a trigger on someone. Doesn't just mean that. It means the entire body of mitzvahs that falls under Lo Tirtzach. That entire body of mitzvah, the whole category. The Torah comes to teach us in this week's parsha, at the end, once I taught you what the Aseres Hadibros are, I want to show you what is included in each one of those. You know what's included in Avodah Zarah? Lo Yelecha. What's included there is even the Kruvim, to make them of silver rather than gold. That is Bichlal Lo Ta'aseh Lecha Pesed. That's included there. You know what's included in Lo Tirtzach? Even to have stones which are cut with metal in the Mizbeach, that's also included in the Lo Tirtzach. is included in Lotinaf. That's how far, that's how far reaching, that's how broad the Aseres HaDibros are and the mitzvahs of the Torah are. So when they accepted not just the individual mitzvah, but they accepted the entire category, and this is an example of how far each one of these categories go. Have a good Shabbos. Yeah.